HarperCollins and Harper Audio present The Enlightenment, The Pursuit of Happiness, 1680 to 1790, by Richie Robertson. Read by Jonathan Keeble.
Preface. Historians often claim that the period they are studying or writing about is important for the present, but it is undeniable that the Enlightenment has a particularly urgent message for our time. Opponents of tyranny, injustice, and superstition often appeal to the values of the Enlightenment. With the definite article, the Enlightenment refers to a historical period, which, for the purposes of this book, runs from about 1680 to about 1790. Within this, the Enlightenment stands for the endeavours of thinkers, writers, and practical administrators in many countries to increase the well-being of humanity, and to do so by the process called, without the article, Enlightenment. For them, to enlighten humanity is to clear away the false beliefs which have blinded people to their own interests, to oppose the power of institutions, especially the organized churches, which have encouraged such blindness, to arrive at a true understanding of human nature and of the political and economic societies in which people live, to increase people's well-being and happiness, and to do so by close attention to empirical facts and the use of reason. The conviction animating these endeavours is that the world need not be a veil of tears. The earth is the destined home of humanity, and a place where happiness is attainable. Recently, the case for the Enlightenment has been put with particular eloquence by the psychologist Steven Pinker and the philosopher Susan Nyman. The era, according to Pinker, was a cornucopia of ideas, some of them contradictory, but four themes tie them together: reason, science, humanism, and progress. Nyman's summary of Enlightenment values has a somewhat different emphasis. Alongside freedom and autonomy, she singles out happiness, reason, reverence, and hope as values cherished by every thinker who was central to the Enlightenment. By including reverence, perhaps surprisingly, Nyman means that the believers in a rational religion who formed much of the Enlightenment mainstream meant to substitute for the questionable God presented by the churches a conception of divinity that measured up to humanity's moral intuitions. There is, however, another view of the Enlightenment, which was acknowledged, even when being dismissed, by another defender of the Enlightenment, the late historian Eric Hobsbawm, in a lecture he delivered in 1992. "I believe that one of the few things that stands between us and an accelerated descent into darkness is the set of values inherited from the 18th century Enlightenment. This is not a fashionable view at this moment, when the Enlightenment can be dismissed as anything from superficial and intellectually naive to a conspiracy of dead white men in periwigs to provide the intellectual foundations of Western imperialism. It may or may not be all that, but it is also the only foundation for all the aspirations to build societies fit for all human beings to live on anywhere on this earth, and for the assertion and defence of their human rights as persons." The dead white men in periwigs have been accused of holding and imposing on others a blinkered rationalistic view of the world, of using science and technology to confirm humanity's domination of nature, ultimately for the benefit of industrial capitalism, of reducing human beings to interchangeable, manipulable units, and classifying them in schemes that reinforced race and gender-based hierarchies, and of subjecting the non-European world to an imperialism justified by Western claims to possess universal values. The grain of truth in some of these charges has been hugely exaggerated by two factors. The first is simply insufficient knowledge of what was really said, written, and done in the Enlightenment. The second is a fault to which even defenders of the Enlightenment are sometimes prone, what historians call presentism. That is, a tendency to see the past only from a present-day perspective, and to ignore or underestimate its difference from the present. Pinker's term humanism, for example, could mislead incautious readers. Nowadays it serves well to define a secular morality, based not on supposedly divine commandments, but on the sympathies which, as enlighteners increasingly realize...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?